genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brains.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Billy the Brain, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also listen to us over the internet at 1400kkzz.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people have to say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of that sounds like National Public Radio, well, then you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right, with the emphasis on the right. Every single show has a theme, and today's theme is More Than You Know. We have three guests who will broaden how you think about your world. My first guest masters time. She'll tell us how to maximize the time that we have. Laura Vanderkam is a New York City-based writer and the author of the book 168 Hours, You Have More Time Than You Think, and also Grind Hopping, Build a Rewarding Career Without Paying Your Dues. She's a member of USA Today's Board of Contributors, and her work has appeared in Reader's Digest, Scientific American, Wired, The American, and Portfolio, and other publications. Welcome to the show, Laura. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you, and hopefully things will be cooling off for you. You're calling from New York City. Things are a little hot over there in New York City, aren't they?
Yeah, we had a bit of a heat wave this week, but it seems to be cooling off today, so that's good.
Mild understatement, a little bit of a heat wave. Well, we're cool and overcast here in Ventura County, so I wish we could export our cool weather to you and get some of that warm weather, but it just doesn't work that way, does it?
We all wish it would this time of year.
Absolutely. Well, listen, let's get right to it. Most of us complain that we don't have enough time to do what it takes in our lives or to feel successful at work or in the home. You've examined the data, though, and you just don't believe that's true. What does your research tell you?
Well, there are 168 hours in a week. And if you just do the math, if you're working 40 hours a week and sleeping 8 hours a night, so that's 56 hours a week, that leaves 72 hours for other things. If you're working 50 hours, you know, if you've got a long commute, for instance, that still leaves 62 hours for other things. That's a lot of time. And yet most of us sort of let that time go. We're not really aware of how we're spending it, how we're filling it. And I think that by being more conscious of those things, we can find that we have a lot more time than we think.
All right. So we just need to be focused in on the time that we're spending and where we're spending it. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, I go to the bookstores or I look at Amazon, and there's no shortage of books on time management. So what sets 168 hours apart from the others that are out there?
Well, there's two things. First, I've had people tell me it's more of a life management book, right? I'm not telling people how to save 5 minutes here and there on their errands. I'm pretty much asking people to look at the whole of their 168 hours and to see if the way they're spending those hours matches up with their priorities, if they're focusing on things that are building their careers, nurturing their families, being fulfilling to themselves, or if they're doing a lot of stuff that just amounts to being busy with things that don't matter. And the other thing that I would think would set it apart is that I didn't really come at this as being a time management guru. I mean, you read my biography before. I'm a journalist,
mm-hmm.
And I started writing a few years ago about how people spend their time now and how they spend it in the past. And by looking at these trends and how things have changed over time, I think I can give a broader perspective on what it means to say that Americans are busy now and whether we're really overworked and whether we're really sleep-deprived like many people think. And how things have changed over the past few decades as well.
All right. So you come at it from that journalistic point of view, and you find that there is probably more time that's out there. So let me ask you this. You know, most of us focus on our goals. We don't lose sight of our goals. Why would we drift, and why would we start spending our time on things that don't necessarily move us forward towards what we want?
Well, we live in a very distracted world. I mean, things like email, you know, it has the appearance of being work, for instance, and sometimes it is, but many times it isn't as well. So it's very difficult to focus on the most important things at work, to really devote hours to our professional crafts. And at home, too, we get distracted with things like television, puttering around the house, and don't spend as much time playing with our kids or reading with our kids or talking with our spouses as we might. It's just a very distracted world, and you have to force yourself to pay attention and know where the time is going.
So we're all suffering from some mild form of ADD, is what you're saying.
Pretty much. I mean, what I tell people to do is to try keeping a time log just for 168 hours for 1 week. You don't have to do this for the rest of your life. But it's always an eye-opening experience to write down how you're actually spending your time. People are often amazed at the number of hours that they really just can't account for. They can't explain what they're doing during that time.
Wow, that's interesting. Now, many of our listeners are listening at work. You know, they're either at their desk or at their computer listening to the sound of our voices. So what would you say, how would you make their life more effective and meaningful at work using the 168 hours that we have?
Well, one of the best things you can do is to go ahead and write your year-end performance review right now. So, you know, pretending that it's the end of the year, looking back on what you've accomplished in the year, and writing it down, and then looking at that, you can see, well, what's actually going to be important for me to focus on in the next 6 months? What are the things that would be most important for advancing my career, for advancing my organization? And by having that in front of you, when you look at something coming in for you to be doing on any given day, you can evaluate its importance based on that fictional year-end performance review.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Now, we're talking to the author, Laura Vanderkam, and she's written a book, 168 Hours, talking about the 168 hours each of us has in a given week. Is your book filled with ideas and with concepts like keeping a time log and that sort of thing?
Sure. There's lots of different techniques for getting more out of your time, like keeping a time log. Another big thing I tell people to do is to actually make a list of things that they want to have in their 168 hours. Because, you know, time management gets a bad reputation. It's not just about saving a few minutes here and there. It's about filling your time with things you actually want to have in your life. So make a list. You know, maybe it's a list of things you'd like to do this summer, you know, trips you'd like to take. Maybe it's over the whole course of your life, things you'd like to say you've done by the end of it. And then once you have such a long list, you can start, you know, doing a few of those things, which only take a few hours and a few bucks maybe, and start learning more about what you like and what you might like to have during your 168 hours.
Oh, good advice, good advice. Now, many of the people listening to the sound of our voice are also working moms. And you believe that there's a bad cultural perception about time management, priorities, and sacrifices when it comes to being a working mom. Why?
Well, I mean, one of things is just looking at the numbers. I mean, what we talked about earlier, if you're working 40 hours a week and sleeping 8 hours a night, that still leaves 72 hours for other things. Now, obviously, your kids aren't going to be awake and around you for all of them, but they will be for a lot of them. And if you look at actual studies of how people spend their time, moms who are both in the workforce and who are not in the workforce don't actually spend that much different amounts of time interacting with their children. And part of that's just because, you know, kids have their own lives. They do their own things. Moms don't actually work as many hours as many people think they do, too, if you look over the whole of women in America. And so all these things add up. And if you look also at studies of how women spent their time in the past, in the 1950s and 60s, which we sort of picture as these ideal, you know,
right,
eras of the
June Cleaver years.
Homemakers, yes. If you look at how women were spending their time during that era, they were actually interacting with their children less than women do now. And the reason is that they were doing a lot more housework. And so what's happened as women have entered the workforce in droves over the past 4 or 5 decades is that our standards of acceptable housework have just gone way, way, way down. But what that has happened is that it's freed up time to both work for pay and to spend more time with your kids. And so I think that people have sort of a misperception of how women actually spent their time that feeds into this idea that there isn't enough time to both have a career and have a family as well.
Interesting. We're talking to Laura Vanderkam, everybody. But I have to ask you, I mean, you've just opened my eyes to several different things in that last answer that you gave us about how things are changing for women. Don't women get offended if you show them the statistics that say they don't spend as much time doing housework, spending it with their kids and so forth? Doesn't that offend them?
Sometimes I get some angry emails, but I think people are interested in hearing a different perspective. And, you know, like I said, time spent interacting with kids is not the same thing as time spent around kids. Now, obviously, if you have young kids and you're a stay-at-home mom, you're spending more time around them than someone who is working outside the home. But if you look at the interactive time, it's different. And so now you can argue if you know, whether that matters or not. You know, there are some people who think it really is important that you're there under the same roof, and there's other people who don't. And I try not to take too much of a side on that. But I think when you look at the numbers, and these are numbers that are kept by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, so they're not ones that I'm just making up, it's very eye-opening.
It is. We're talking to Laura Vanderkam, everybody. And when we come back, I'm going to ask you to delve in a little bit more into your book, 168 Hours. We've got a break for some commercials. And also, when we come back off of this break, I have a McConnell's single scoop to give away, plus toppings. So that'll go to the second caller when we come back from the break at 639-0008, 639-0008. Stay tuned for that. Join us when we come back.
Plus penalties, plus interest. You need to know what may turn your non-taxable service business into one where the state demands sales tax on your total gross revenue and how to avoid this.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Billy the Brain, and today's theme is More Than You Know. Our first guest, Laura Vanderkam, is the author of the book, 168 Hours. She's showing us that we actually have more time than we thought we did. Before we get back to Laura, however, I do have the McConnell's single scoop to give away. That's a single scoop ice cream or yogurt with one topping, and that's going to go to the second caller at 639-0008, 639-0008. If you've not had it before, McConnell's ice cream is manufactured right here on the Central Coast. It's made using the French pot method. It has 17% butterfat, which makes it richer and creamier than most of the ice creams that are out there. That'll go to the second caller at 639-0008. Now, Laura, back to you. So before we went to break, you were really showing us lots of different ways that things have changed, and we actually have more time than we think that we do. But in your book, you talk specifically about how we need to kind of focus in on what you call our core competencies so that we can get even more out of life in less time. Tell me about that.
Well, core competencies is a phrase from the business literature that basically means things that an organization does best and that others cannot do nearly as well. So for, you know, a company like Walmart, its core competencies are very low prices. For people can have core competencies too. And these are things that you do best and that other people cannot do nearly as well or can't do at all. So the most, you know, obvious one is that no one can sleep for you, for instance. No one can exercise for you.
Okay.
But there are other ones too. So in terms of your career, for instance, there are activities at work that you do best and that you really shine on. And there's others that maybe you're not so good at, maybe other people can do better, or would just distract you from doing the things that you do best at work. So figure out what those things are, what you do best, what you enjoy most, and then spend as many of your working hours as possible on that. Same thing goes at home. For most of us, our core competencies at home are nurturing our children, for instance, nurturing our relationship with our spouses. And our core competencies are not, for instance, maintaining a spick-and-span house, for instance, or I'm not particularly great at cooking. So all these things I try and spend less time on, you know, and as much as possible, ignore it, minimize it, or outsource it if at all possible.
Well, go ahead.
My time on my core competencies.
All right, I get you. But now, listening to what you had to say and focusing on the core competencies, you're going to end up either not doing or outsourcing a lot of that. You mentioned cooking. You live in New York City. You're very fortunate. There are many, many good restaurants there. You could spend your entire life going out to restaurants, never, ever have to cook. But there's a flip side of that. That's very expensive. So people that are on a tight budget may not have the luxury of being able to outsource their eating, their cleaning, and some of those other things. How would you address that if you're doing this on a tight budget?
Well, then you do one of the other two things, right, which is ignore it or minimize it. Obviously, you can't ignore eating. But if cooking is not something you enjoy, there are ways you can do it that take less time. For instance, you know, you can find 20-minute recipes. You can find very basic recipes that don't involve a lot of ingredients. And instead of, you know, making a longer recipe that will take big chunks of your evening, you spend a little bit of time cooking and then spend your time actually eating it and enjoying the food instead. Minimizing, you know, it doesn't cost anything to lower your housekeeping standards. If you spend 20 minutes after the kids go to bed picking up the playroom, you got to remember it's just going to get dirty again the next morning. So maybe you should use that time to talk with your partner instead.
All right. Interesting. All right. So let's shift gears just a little bit here. How do you suggest that listeners approach kind of rearranging their schedules, reevaluating their lives in order to have more time for the things that they wish they could do?
Well, the first step is, like we talked about, to keep a time log. Because when you try and lose weight, you keep a food journal because it keeps you from eating mindlessly. It's the same thing with time. Write down what you're doing for 168 hours for 1 week. As often as you remember, think of yourself as a lawyer billing your time to different projects. And this will keep you from spending your time mindlessly. I've had dozens of people do this for the book, for my website, my168hours.com. People do this, find it a very eye-opening experience. For starters, people often see that, you know, they wake up at a certain time in the morning, and often they don't actually start real work until 2-3 hours later. And that's not all getting ready time and commuting time. There's a lot of sort of puttering around in the morning that happens. People show up at work, and it takes them a full 30 minutes, 45 minutes to actually ease into work because, you know, they're circling the office, saying hello to people, which is fine, but, you know, you might want to put a limit on it. You know, they spend tons of time in the car running errands, and so when people see that, they can start to examine, do all those errands really need to be run, or is there a way I can restructure my life to get some of those off my plate? Weekends are another big one. You know, we can wake up in the morning on a weekend, not know what we plan to do with the day, and then next thing you know, it's noon and 5 hours are gone. And if you had 5 hours on a weekday, you'd certainly know where they went. But weekends can just be lost to chores, to television, to a death march of children's activities. So, you know, once people know that, though, they can start saying, well, what are three things that I actually want to do this weekend? You know, maybe I just want to go to the zoo with my kids, I want to go to church, and I want to get a run in. That's three things that's fine to have for the weekend, and I can let the rest of life fill in around that, but still feel like I've done the things that are most important to me.
Interesting.
So that's what I tell people to do.
We're talking to Laura Vanderkam, everybody. She is the author of the book, 168 Hours. You have more time than you think. It's really been eye-opening for me to hear you say that. You mentioned in your last answer your website. Could you give that again for people who are sitting at their desk, their computer, who might want to look
sure.
you up?
It's my168hours.com. That's my168hours.com. And I'm blogging there, of course, but you can also download a time management spreadsheet from the website if you want to try logging your time for 168 hours. We've got a spreadsheet there for you to use to do that. And, of course, I'm happy to hear from people who've tried it and what they've learned from it.
Oh, that's great. So you've got tools up there for actually tracking the time. But I got to ask you, Laura, come on, it can't be that simple, really. It's just keeping track of your time, that's the starting point? It can't be that simple.
Well, that's the starting point, right? Because once you know how you're spending the time, then you have the hard work of figuring out whether that matches your priorities. Which, you know, I mean, the people I interviewed for 168 hours, many have had to do things like change jobs, move, reevaluate how they're spending their time at home, all these things in order to get the lives they want. But, I mean, the payoff when you do that is amazing because then you discover that you have so much time in these 168 hours to actually build a life that you enjoy, that makes you happy, that doesn't make you feel rushed all the time. So it's hard work, but I definitely think it's worth it.
Wow. Well, that does make it sound good. Let me ask you, in all your research, what were some of the biggest time drains, time wasters that you ran across?
Well, television is a big one, of course. You know, lots of times parents, you know, put their kids down to bed at 8, 8:30, turn on the TV, and then it's on till 11 o'clock at night. That's a lot of time there, you know, that could be used for reading, for really investing in that relationship with each other, for getting ready for the next day, or even, you know, maybe trying to get home from work a little earlier and then using that time after the kids go to bed to finish up work that you didn't get to. So that's one that people can look to cut down on a little. Running around in the car, checking email every time it comes in, definitely important to set a limit on that, because otherwise email can eat up your entire day if you're not careful. So those are some of the big ones.
Those are the big ones that we all fall prey to. Before we go on with Laura, I just have to shout out Hugo. Hugo, you were the second caller. Congratulations, you're the winner, but you've dropped the line before we could get your address. So please give us a call back here at 639-0008 so we can get your address to send you off the coupon for the McConnell's ice cream. Those of you that called in and didn't win, don't worry. We have another ice cream that we give away in the next half hour as well, so be patient for that. Hugo, if you hear the sound of my voice, give us a call back so we can give you your coupon. We're talking to Laura Vanderkam, everybody. She is the author of 168 Hours, finding interesting new ways to really capture some of the time that we've got out there. Laura, what did you get out of writing this book?
Well, the most important thing I've gotten out of this is that I don't feel busy anymore. I don't feel very rushed all the time. Because I've sort of realized that there are four main things in my life right now. There's my work, which is my writing, you know, promoting this book, writing it. There's my family. I have two little kids. I am also a runner, and I sing in a choir, which is I also volunteer with in the leadership of. And those are basically the four main things in my life. And as much as possible, I try not to do other things. And so when I really invest time in those four things, I feel like I'm getting somewhere. I'm really enjoying myself, and I don't feel like I'm being busy with things that don't matter to me.
Oh, that's great. We all wish we would feel that way. One final question, and then I've got to let you go. And this is more work-related for those people that are listening at the office. Why is it that some people manage to feel more engaged in their professional lives and others don't?
Well, the most important thing is to be in a job that you love. I mean, there's really no substitute for this. You'll have more energy in the rest of your life if you're working 50 hours a week in a job you love than 30 in a job you hate. But that's really just a matter of doing the hard work of figuring out both what you have to offer, what you're good at, what the market will value, and where you can put those skills to use. It's hard, but it's worth any investment of time you put into it.
Oh, that's great. We're talking to Laura Vanderkam, everybody. She's the author of a brand new book, 168 Hours. You have more time than you think. And it's true. She's just shared with us some of the time-saving tips and ideas that she's got captured in that book. Wonderful, wonderful talking with you, Laura. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
You betcha. Now, you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ AM 1400.